Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Stroud in the slant. He's got Diggs, who's got a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, his first touchdown as a member of the Houston Texans.
He had two. Stroud and Diggs in the red zone. It's going to work. Those slants. It's hard to stop them. And while the field definitely assisted one of C.J. Stroud's two touchdown passes to Stephon Diggs because the poor Colts defensive back ate bleep as he was trying to keep up with him, this is a continuation of things that we saw in training camp, if not in the preseason, because you don't really see anything in the preseason. If you were out of training camp practices, Stephon Diggs, when he was inside the 20, working with C.J. Stroud, he just finds ways to get open. So to your spiciest Houston Texans take, Joe, this year about touchdown receptions.
Oh, that Nico Collins will finish fourth on the Texans.
Yes.
Now, he didn't score a touchdown, so, you know.
He didn't score a touchdown, but and Stephon Diggs seems like he's going to be probably in first.
Yeah, he'll be in first, especially in the red zone like that. I mean, I think if you're at like the 25 and, you know, like around the 25 yard line, that's where, like, that's the tank zone, I would say. But when you get close, it's all Diggs. I mean, they're gonna find a way to get him the ball. And it was because, you know, there's so many concerns about Stephon Diggs. We talked about, the captain conversation last week, and it's like, what is this guy gonna look like in terms of targets and being upset? It is funny, like, he only had, you know, 33 receiving yards. He had two touchdowns, and that matters more than any yards you can get. So I thought CJ did a really good job, you know, distributing the ball to those top three guys in his first game. 21 targets between the three of them, 8 to Nico, 7 to Tank, and 6 to Diggs. I was just curious what it was going to look like in game action, and he did a very, very good job with it.
From the 8-3-2, what a great captain. Two touchdowns for all you character assassins. Go Diggs. That would be me. That would be me. Look, I was surprised he was named captain. That's a great start. He was certainly not too unhappy about only getting 33 yards receiving, but when you get two touchdowns, you generally do feel pretty good about yourself after the fact. Okay. Someone texted, and also, you guys are starting to sound like the bitchy bees. Hey.
Why?
We're just trying to hold people to a higher standard after a victory. We're not doing a victory lap. It's the Colts.
Okay. For this texter.
Joe's so mad about this.
For this texter. Let me
He's
help.
So angry.
Justin Verlander's can be perfectly fine. Justin Verlander is a Cy Young winner. Justin Verlander's can be the best pitcher for the Astros, and there's no chance it will blow up in their face when they put him in the playoff rotation. There you go. Anti-bitchy bees there.
I think, but the way that you said it, it sounded a little sarcastic and means, which is borderline bitchy, like the bitchy bees. He called it that. We didn't. We're just referring
Don't
to
get mad.
By to what the texter said. Give me Joe a week one overreaction. A week one overreaction. I have no what's happening here.
We're having with the power surges that have been happening. Sometimes when we play audio, it comes through the television instead of Sean's computer. Like,
okay, I thought it was
to.
Hearing things.
No.
Okay,
so.
let's circle back.
Yes.
Hi, it's Gallant and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass.
Positive or negative overreaction?
Positive, because everyone wants the positivity. Who's happy Mr. Person. It's Joe George wearing a C.J. Stroud jersey.
The Texans are going to lead the NFL in sacks this year. And they only got two this weekend. And they got nothing from Danielle Hunter. They got nothing from Will Anderson. They didn't even get that many quarterback hits.
Wait, so how are they going to lead the NFL in sacks?
Because the way... sorry. I know. I'm sorry.
I have to actually get the sound.
I know.
You could be a professional.
I know. They made things so much easier for Foley and for Mario Edwards, Hunter and Will Anderson did, that they're going to get theirs. And while they didn't get to the quarterback in this game, and they didn't get, you know, a sack, or even I think Will Anderson had a quarterback hit on the first series, and that was his only one for the game, I just think that they're going to be monsters throughout the entire season. And the way that the offense is going to perform, teams are going to be chasing them. So my biggest overreaction is that even though they only got two sacks this weekend, is that, look, you asked for an overreaction, is that they're going to lead the NFL in sacks as a team.
But don't you have to have an overreaction that's based on something that happened yesterday?
I think it is based on what happened yesterday. But I know.
I didn't even know Danielle Hunter was out there.
I know, but they were double-teaming those guys like crazy. And you know that Hunter and Will Anderson, they're going to get theirs. Like, they are going to get to the quarterback. They're going to make things easy for the guys on the interior, and then eventually they're going to get theirs, and it's going to add up. So,
my first week one overreaction of a positive tune. The Joe Mixon contract already worth it. They gave him an extension, and he gets 30 carries his first day, and he goes for a lot. What was it? 150 and a touchdown? Impressive performance by Joe Mixon. I did not think that he had it in him. 159 to be specific. I didn't think they'd be able to do that against a, one, very good Colts front seven. But two, I wasn't 100% sure that the Houston Texans would ever be able to run the football with Bobby Slowick running this offense. I wasn't sure. Based off of last year, where you had a guy in Damian Pierce the season before comes in and just can't do anything here after having a great year in 2022 with no quarterback help and with just all bad things, all the bad vibes. They couldn't make it work last year with him. But Joe Mixon seems to be the perfect fit, and I already like the contract, even though it's only been one game. And if he's getting 30 carries a game, there is definitely an argument to be made that it won't age very well.
Yeah, you might run him into the ground. But, okay, to go with this, even though it was only a few carries, I thought Damian Pierce looked okay when he got his touches in the game. Like, he seemed to be fine in some gaps in the defense as well. The offensive line blocked very well. Joe Mixon found the gaps when things were moving around, and he really was, for the first time, what you typically see in Miami and in San Francisco from this Kyle Shanahan offense in the running game. So Joe Mixon was very, very good in this game. I'm all in with this overreaction that the contract's worth it. He's not going to do this every week, but he could.
I don't know.
I mean,
I feel like that'd be a record.
But if you can get you 4 yards a carry most games, it just, they could have the best offense in the NFL.
There we go. See, there's an overreaction.
That's what my overreaction was going to be.
See, that's a better overreaction than they're going to lead the NFL in sacks this year.
Yeah, I know, but that's my overreaction.
Yeah, I know. No. Don't say that. We're going to erase that for some dumb button that never happened.
Oh, I'm not backing down.
You're not backing down? Okay, fine.
But Joe Mixon, like, if he runs like this, when CJ has a great game, how many points are they going to score? I mean, they scored on their first three possessions, and two of them were field goals.
Well, theoretically, they could run the clock out on themselves and score less because of it. But, I mean, if you have the ability to win this way and the ability to win by throwing the football, then you're just going to be a matchup problem every single week. And a team's going to have to try to take one thing out, but they can't take everything out. This is why I think so many people were hyping the Texans up this offseason. Name brand at running back, adding Stephon Diggs. You do look at them and you're like, where do we start? And you're going to probably think for a very long time about where you start. Like, Tank Dell barely saw him yesterday. But Nico Collins, we saw him, and as we always do against the Colts, you know, like, that's the best part about it. So this was, even though it was an up-and-down performance for Stroud and the offensive line wasn't great in pass protection, this definitely was one of those games where you're like, man, this was a C performance in totality by the offense. Maybe, yeah, probably. Nah, hang on. I got to say, it's probably a B minus performance by the offense in totality. Got a lot of third down conversions, settled for a couple of field goals. But imagine what it will be in some games where the passing attack really takes over.
Yeah, because that's what you depend on. Yeah, that's what we came in with expectations with this season, where I think it's safe to say we're still going to believe that this is going to be a passing attack first more than a team that's going to hand the ball to the running back 30 times. Like, that is what this team is going to do if they're going to be successful. But if they can hand the ball off to their running back, again, probably not 30 times in a game that the passing is working better. I think this was a little bit more out of necessity and being up late they were really running out the clock with Mixon there. But I think it just shows that if they can replicate this kind of performance from the offensive line, the in run blocking, how's this not the best offense in football if you get if you're getting closer to what you would expect from the passing offense?
I have another positive overreaction. I think Joe, you have a negative overreaction. We'll get to both of these on the other side. If you have a positive or negative overreaction based off of one game of Houston Texans football, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
O-line. You got to give the O-line its credit. I mean, we get all, the hoopla, we got the celebrations and all that, but the game is won up front. Playing on the other side of the scrimmage, line of scrimmage is huge. Our O-line dropped their nuts when they had to.
That is Texas wide receiver Stephon Diggs after yesterday's 29-27 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Texans alone in first place in the AFC South. I'm excited about Stephon Diggs quotes. I'm excited. He said that in passing. It's natural. It's authentic. We're going to get some good quotes from Stephon Diggs this year.
Especially when the vibes are good, the quotes are going to be even better.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure, like, if things don't go well, we'll also get very good quotes from Stephon Diggs. But I think they're going to be more fun. Just based on, like, his Twitter, when he was always tweeting about the highways and things like that, we're going to enjoy good mood Stephon Diggs, I think, more than bad mood.
He seems like a goofy guy, and he also seems like a good dude. He just also seems like somebody who's going to be temperamental on the sidelines and potentially that could lead to a souring relationship with his quarterback. But really good start, 2 touchdowns, 33 yards receiving. Nico Collins continuing to do what he does to the Indianapolis Colts as well. I'm going to give one more positive overreaction to week one for the Houston Texans. Run defense fixed. They shut down a guy who kicks their ass regularly. Maybe not quite Derrick Henry level, but pretty close. Jonathan Taylor, in the 6 games before that he'd played against the Houston Texans, was averaging nearly 6 yards a carry. And in this one, they held him to half of that. 16 carries for 48 yards, 3 yards a carry. I did not see that coming, to be perfectly honest. I figured Taylor would have a good day. They completely erased him in yesterday's game, and they deserve a lot of credit for it. Overreaction. Run defense, a big problem last year, fixed.
I like that one. I hope you're right.
I do too.
I mean, it'd be nice. No, there's not a ton of running backs you're super worried about on your schedule this year. You don't play Derrick Henry till Christmas this year since he's no longer. I'm just glad he's no longer on the Titans. Even though Tony Pollard was pretty good yesterday, I'm with this, and especially if you can get Christian Harris back at some point, it should be even better. And DeNico Autry, like, you are missing two big parts of stopping the run on your defense right now, so it's only going to get better just as you get healthier. Mm-hmm. So I'm with this one.
You have a negative overreaction.
Yeah, not replacing Jimmy Ward is going to be the biggest mistake they've ever made. Giving him the
ever,
or at least of the
Nick Brock Osweiler
of this era of Texans football.
Okay, sorry.
That contract extension is the opposite of Joe Mixon. What a waste of money.
Yeah,
I mean, Stingley was getting burned on a couple of these plays. Jimmy Ward looked like he had no prayer in the secondary of trying to make a play on a receiver.
I'm always hesitant to make assumptions about coverage because you never know if somebody blew a responsibility out there. We generally just see the defensive back who was closest to the play and assume it's that guy's fault. Sometimes it's not that guy's fault. But as a safety at the high school level, a very low level of high school football, there was one thing my coach told me to do. stay on top. And this was a problem last year. They just give up a lot of big plays. They gave up a 60-yard touchdown. They gave up a 54-yard touchdown. They gave up a 51-yard bomb. And Jimmy Ward seemed to be near all of those and not making a play. And maybe Jimmy Ward is just better as a guy who's more of a run support safety, but I hope we start to see more and more Kalen Bullock doing whatever we think we football rubes believe that they are trying to put Jimmy Ward out there to do. I think Kalen Bullock can do it better. And Bullock had an incredible interception on a terrible throw by Anthony Richardson, but it was a really nice play.
Well, because if you're going to get beat, I'd rather have the guy out there that's also occasionally going to make a big play and get an interception. So I would take that trade all the time. If they're both going to get beat, then just take the guy who occasionally makes the big play. I didn't like the signing when they made it. I didn't like it when he was out, Jimmy Ward, when he was out there last year. And then he got hurt and left you in an even worse position. And then this game, I'm just left unimpressed once again. And I get why he's here. He's a captain. He's a D'Amico guy. I don't see it. So I feel the total opposite way that you feel about the Mixon contract, that giving Jimmy Ward an extra year makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's not looking great, at least after week one. Week one, overreactions. Sean, you got any overreactions from week one?
The negative one was along the same lines as the Jimmy Ward stuff. It was, you better hope that Anthony Richardson never figures this thing out. If this is Anthony Richardson still doesn't know how to play NFL quarterback at a high level, then if he ever does figure it out,
yeah,
not looking good.
He had enough good moments in this game where you still feel like there's potential, and he's obviously very raw. But a better quarterback than Anthony Richardson would have beat the Texans yesterday.
Yeah, again, whatever you thought about Anthony Richardson, you probably believe it more after the game he played. But this is something that we talk about with all the great quarterbacks that are on their schedule. And I'm actually a little interested, kind of on both sides of the coin, for next week's game of can Caleb Williams make those throws to beat him? He didn't make them against the Titans defense on Sunday. So is Caleb, like, is that going to be something that we see from this Texans defense going forward? Or is some of it just, yeah, man, They're not used to covering guys 75 yards down the field because normally when a guy's that far from the football, he's not getting the ball.
At a certain point, though, you should be.
Yes.
If it keeps happening to you.
It's like the counterbalance is that, like, you're playing the Colts. You want to shut down Jonathan Taylor, who, like you said, has always crushed them. You want to shut down Anthony Richardson, who, yes, he ran the ball effectively, I would say, yesterday for the Colts. You don't want him to be running all over the place.
Yeah.
If Anthony Richardson's going to beat you, you want him to beat you with his arm. So it's like they gave it to him. But to what Sean's saying, like, at this point, I would say if I'm an offensive coordinator from another team, I'm trying to attack the secondary deep, as deep down the field as I can get, to see if that was a strategy that just worked against the defense that one day or if it's a real problem.
Yeah, I think that there's some element of, listen, that's just Anthony Richardson going to do Anthony Richardson things. But like what Joe's saying, like, if I were to try to scheme something up against this defense, it would be attacking the secondary.
Oh, deep, yeah.
Yeah, it would be hopefully you can block it for that long. And that's kind of the theory of this defense that D'Amico Ryans has built, is that Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson – I mean, Edwards got a sack yesterday.
Foley Fatu Kasi.
That
Joe's guy.
Basically, heat up the quarterback before they have a chance to throw it deep against you. And we'll see. I mean, Richardson, he did slip on the play that he scored with Pierce, which I saw a stat that it was something like 65 yards in the air or something. It was the third longest third most air yards on a completed pass.
It was beautiful.
In like NFL history.
So he does, and most guys in the NFL can do this. There's a glimpse or two and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
And Richardson has enough of those to convince a lot of people to be patient with him. But yeah, if he was slightly more accurate, he missed a lot of wide open throws in this game. Another text: overreactions from week one. Secondary definitely needs some work. They look horrible out there. Wasn't their best day, that's for sure. But we're talking about like three chunk plays. Yeah. You know, it's if in totality, it was a successful day for the defense. The problem was those three big plays were so big. It's two touchdowns.
Yeah, it kept the Colts in the game.
Right.
I didn't really, and this might be a good thing for him, I didn't really notice it much about Kamari Lassiter. I didn't either. I wasn't blown away, and I also wasn't, oh my God, where's Kamari Lassiter? Kamari Lassiter should be guarding this guy.
That's good at least.
I thought he played fine. Yeah, it was weirdly enough, it was Stingley that got victimized on the deep
times.
Stuff.
A couple times.
I did think the one, the 54-yard touchdown to Ashton Doolin was worse. Yeah.
Who are these people?
Because it wasn't like the first one was just a deep shot.
Alec Pierce and Ashton Doolin. Yeah.
Alec Pierce. At least I know where Alec Pierce went to college. Like, I know he went to Cincinnati. I literally have never heard of
him. I'm glad you told me.
Guy.
Yeah, I didn't. I was hoping that wouldn't be a pop quiz.
But the Doolin one was more like he made space and then he ran like across the middle of the field.
Yeah.
That one was a little more, I was like, that's not a great play.
Yeah, that's more. Another possible negative overreaction I was going to have was, oh my God, the Texans are Texas Tech, where they just can't guard anybody. I feel great about their offense. They just cannot guard anybody.
Just a run-of-the-mill Big 12
team. Yeah, just, oh my God, we brought the Big 12 back.
Here's a positive overreaction. Kyahmi Fairbairn is better than Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker can't hit field goals outside of 50 yards. Kyahmi Fairbairn hit three on a slippery field yesterday.
Paul? Yeah. Not an overreaction.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
Fairbairn. Matt Rushmore of
he's the best kicker in franchise history.
Of NFL kickers.
That guy in the Cowboys hit a 66-yarder yesterday that got
Cowboys
called
guy
back
definitely
by the
has a spot.
What's his name? Aubrey?
Yeah. Brandon Aubrey.
Crap. They even thought about lining up for 71 yards.
They should have done it. They should have done it.
I agree. That would have been sick. Speaking of the Cowboys, week one overreactions. How about them, Cowboys? Super Bowl champs 2025. Relax. It's Deshaun Watson. It's a performance where you feel good that Dak Prescott's in the fold. You gave him that extension, and the defense looked really, really good. But it's Deshaun Watson. I mean,
this might be of the veteran quarterbacks in the NFL. He's the worst.
They got to bench him. I draft in the two quarterback fantasy league I'm in. I drafted Jameis Winston because I think they will bench him. Deshaun is not good. He's just not good anymore. He can't throw the football down the field. He was averaging like 4 yards per attempt.
It was bad. The passing chart for him.
So funny.
The green and red dots. Not great.
Yeah.
Not great stuff.
That's not a week one overreaction.
No, that's an underreaction.
Yeah, he's gone.
At least Justin Verlander's in his 40s.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson's 28.
Yeah, I just don't get it. Like, I know he took a year off of football, but you would think that it would come back to.
Yeah, guys miss.
Look, Michael Vick went to jail and then still played in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, he came back and it took him a little bit of time to get back into shape.
Yeah,
but he
it took him a
shape.
Year to.
Yeah,
knock
it took
the
him
rust
a year.
Off.
He also had Andy Reid, for what it's worth.
I mean,
Kevin Stefanski went to the playoffs last year with four quarterbacks winning games.
Two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski.
Like, he's not Andy Reid, but when Joe Flacco and all these other quarterbacks are winning games and Deshaun is doing that, it might be the worst trade in NFL history.
Yes.
What's
the might be?
The Herschel Walker trade that led to the Cowboys dynasty is probably still number one.
They gave up a lot in that trade. It's honestly
the
like
the Texans need to have a dynasty.
The Texans need to win a Super Bowl. Yeah, I think you have to win a Super Bowl to get in that category.
I guess it's different than the trade, but the contract is like looking at the contract stuff. They can't cut him after this year either.
No, they just pushed money back. He's dead cap of $72 million the next two seasons.
Like Deshaun Watson needs to be on the Browns roster in 2025.
Let's not judge paying things back, okay? Let's not do that.
What does that mean, Paul?
Let's just say, you know, credit card debt, not exactly my friend. It's fine to put some just push it back.
Yes.
We'll just get to push it. It back.
We'll get to it later.
Right.
I mean, that's how I feel about my student loans. They die with you. They go away they go away when you die.
Oh, that's nice.
They're not like all the other debt can be passed on to family. Student loans don't. So I'm just paying the minimum for the rest of my life. Never going to pay that off.
That's running out the clock. Yeah. I like that.
It's never.
4 minute offense. Off. Handing the ball off. Yeah, that's what you're doing.
Just make the payment on time.
I love it.
And when I croak, see ya.
Gotcha.
Got one over on you, feds. What? Or wait, the bank? I don't know. Whatever. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Up next, we go around the NFL for the 10-minute drill. This is something that I don't think we've ever seen before a football game. The biggest story in the NFL had nothing to do with any game. What are we talking about? You'll find out next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
I could not believe that this happened. Truly, I did not believe it. I saw it and I thought, are we being a little racist here? Did we see a black guy in a nice car getting arrested outside of the Dolphin Stadium and think that it's Tyreek Hill? Because no way would Tyreek Hill, in a fancy sports car, get it arrested right before the season opener against the Jaguars. No way! And then I saw more and more camera angles of it to the point where Adam Schefter eventually reported on it. Tyreek Hill, wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, got put in handcuffs and slammed to the ground before the game for what seems like a traffic violation. We do not know all the facts as of yet. Tyreek Hill scored an 80-yard touchdown in this game, and right as he was about to do a celebration that featured him putting his arms behind his back and having one of his teammates escorting him away as if he had been handcuffed, I thought it was really funny that CBS just cut away to some random guy sitting on the bench.
They didn't want
to
show it.
They were smart. I think they knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I was kind of bummed out that they cut away from it on the broadcast. Here is Tyreek Hill after the game talking to the media about his arrest and his thoughts.
Right now, I'm still trying to put it all together. So I'm not going to give you a version that I still don't know what happened. You know what I'm saying? But I do want to say, I do want to be able to use this platform to say, like, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill, bro? Like, worst case scenario, you know, because it's crazy. Like, I want to be a cop one day. I got a state trooper hat, all that, you know, so I got a lot of respect for cops, man. But obviously, you know, everybody has bad apples in every situation, you know. So I want to be able to, you know, use this platform, you know, to figure out a way to, like, flip this and, you know, make it a positive on both ends, on my end and then also Miami-Dade, you know, so that way we can team together and, you know, do something positive for the community, because that's what it's all about, bro. It wasn't disrespectful, you know, because my mom didn't raise me that way, didn't cuss, didn't do none of that. So, like I said, I'm still trying to figure it out, man.
I'm so confused. I thought he was doing porn when he retired.
Well, he's Johnny Sins.
Now he wants to be a cop.
Football player, porn star, cop.
Okay. Yeah, he can be a pizza delivery guy. He can be a plumber, firefighter, doctor.
Yeah, just trying to get in character to be the next version of Johnny Sins in his next career.
Astronaut.
We do have a counter story. This is coming from the union representing Miami-Dade police officers. They said Hill was uncooperative and only redirected to the ground while in handcuffs during his detainment. The statement reads, before the Dolphins game yesterday, an incident occurred where Tyreek Hill was placed in handcuffs before being released. First, to be clear, at no time was he ever under arrest. He was briefly detained for officer safety after driving in a manner in which he was putting himself and others in great danger. Upon being stopped, Mr. Hill was not immediately cooperative with the officers on scene, who, pursuant to policy and for their immediate safety, placed Mr. Hill in handcuffs. Mr. Hill, still uncooperative, refused to sit on the ground and was therefore redirected to the ground. Once the situation was sorted out within a few minutes, Mr. Hill was issued 2 traffic citations and was free to leave. More and more facts are going to come out in the days to come. What I want to see is the body cam footage. What I also want to see is the dash cam footage of how Tyreek Hill was driving and if it actually wasn't safe right outside the Dolphins stadium.
I also would like some clarification from them on why Calais Campbell, the Dolphins defensive end, was also put in handcuffs when he tried to help de-escalate the situation.
Per Jeff Darlington, Calais Campbell, who pulled over after seeing it, disobeyed a direct order. What does that mean? I don't know. Listen, I'm not taking anybody's side right now. All I'm saying is, just like what the police are saying here, it's fair to be skeptical of it. It's also fair to be skeptical of Tyreek Hill claiming that he wasn't uncooperative. Because Tyreek Hill has a track record of losing his cool. And I'm not just talking about the domestic assault in college with the pregnant girlfriend, the child abuse allegation. I mean, I'm talking about that incident that took place at the marina last year, June 20th of 2023, where he got in an altercation. I'm talking about that broken leg lawsuit where an Instagram model claims he broke her leg while she participated in a football drill at his mansion. All I'm saying is it seems like he has a temper, and I could easily see him perhaps mouthing off to the police officers. Does that merit him getting put into the ground? We're not going to know until we actually see the camera. So I know this sounds like I'm walking down the fence here, but I think there's more that's going to come out here. And I did find it interesting with the way that Tyreek Hill, I guess, initiated talking about this incident. Mm-hmm. Where he's saying, like, well, what would have happened if I'm not Tyreek Hill? And things like that. Let's wait for everything to come out before we're making grand sweeping statements like that right after the game.
Yeah, I mean, he's, I guess, just like defending himself. But like, there's always more to learn and see. I mean, if he's weaving in and out of traffic, like, just because you want to be a cop and you think there's bad apples out there, like, doesn't give you the right to do that, to put people's lives in danger. So
that's why I want to see the dash cam footage.
Yeah, like, I'm curious, like, what if there's footage of him driving? They're by the stadium. There's footage of him driving. TMZ is probably purchasing it, like, as we speak.
Yeah.
So, like, we'll see that very soon as well. Like, just because you're an NFL player doesn't mean you get to disobey the law. But I'm like you. I also want to see the dash cam footage. Because I think back to the Scotty Scheffler was the one who got arrested before.
Everyone was making comparisons.
Yeah. Yes. It's like when the first statements came out, it was like, oh my gosh, how bad could this be? And then we started seeing the videos and we're like, hold on. This is like the greatest overreaction to anything we've ever seen. So.
Yeah. Jeff we'll Darlington on the scene for both of them.
Oh, that is interesting.
Oh, Jeff Darlington.
That is interesting. Now, look, cops overreact, but Tyreek Hill has shown he has a temper. All I'm saying is, before you have any snap judgments here, just wait a little bit. You don't have to have the first take on all of this. Continuing to go around the NFL, speaking of handcuffs, the Dallas Cowboys have handcuffed themselves to Dak Prescott for the foreseeable future. That was a surprise, Dak Prescott getting that contract extension before the game. I know a lot of people don't like it, because they think to themselves, well, he's not worth it. And they get annoyed when people say, well, that's just the market for quarterbacks. And it does get annoying after a while. The Cowboys were never going to let him go. You don't get rid of a quarterback that you found in the fourth round who you know is good and sometimes great because you don't know what's next. Like, you want to find a quarterback, but you're not getting that quarterback by drafting him, right? Like, you're not finding that next awesome on his level quarterback with a 30th overall pick.
Yeah, you'd have to trade all the draft capital in the world to move up from 30-1 to make it worth the Carolina Panthers, you know, replacing Bryce Young to get a new quarterback. Like,
yeah.
And also, who are you taking? It's like the idea that you can just replace him. I guaranteeing $231 out of $240 million is a hefty contract. But to be honest, I just don't know what their other options were. Besides, just go with it. Like, what else are you going to do?
They saw the Colorado game. They're like, yeah, we don't want Shedeur Sanders.
Like, we're going to sign Gardner Minshew? That's your quarterback next year? Davis Mills, you going to trade for him?
Yeah, it's like, going to cost you, buddy.
This is a fine decision by the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I was surprised, though. Like, you got the push notification. I was like, oh.
I was too, especially seeing as it got done right before the game started.
Yeah, less surprising than Tyreek Hill being arrested, but still surprising.
That again, that Tyreek Hill story.
Although Tyreek Hill being arrested,
I don't know.
I think
I don't know.
Tyreek Hill being arrested for a traffic incident.
Okay,
that's surprising. That's what I thought. That honestly, when I saw Drew Rosenhaus saying that he was going to play, I was like, wait, what? And then I saw, oh, it was only like speeding or something. Oh, okay, I can see why he can play immediately after that.
Before the game, outside of the stadium, that is something else. Anyway, more facts will come out. I have so many questions that have yet to be answered, and everyone's going to defend their side here, right? Like Tyreek Hill's obviously going to say, like, this is on them. And the police are going to say, he wasn't complying. I don't know. Speaking of handcuffs, the Cleveland Browns are handcuffed to Deshaun Watson, a guy who probably should have been in handcuffs at least once.
I'm sure they wish he was.
He sucks. He sucks. They should bench him for Jameis Winston right now. He sucks.
And it's not going to get better.
The broadcast yesterday with the divine voice of Tom Brady, who said so many profound things. Don't make that face. You don't understand winning like me. You're a Bears fan. You don't understand winning. He speaks winning. It's a different language.
I understand good speaking.
Yeah, and sometimes he just has to sit back and let it breathe.
He'll be good.
He is good. He was incredible yesterday.
Yeah.
That's the greatest broadcasting we've ever heard.
Yeah.
I will throw that in the trash. I'll throw your stupid little Starbucks.
Yeah, my watered down pumpkin spice latte.
Of course it's pumpkin spice latte. Of course it is. I'll throw that in the trash. That was the greatest thing we've ever heard anyway, but to bring it back, like they were randomly at times during the game saying, well, you know, the offensive line isn't helping him out. The guy can't throw it past 3 yards. What are we talking about? His shoulder doesn't work anymore, and we knew his shoulder doesn't work anymore because we've been hearing about his shoulder not working anymore for over a calendar year.
I think his shoulder's fine.
Do you?
Yes. I think it's a cover-up. Like
a cover-up?
Justin Verlander.
I was going to say.
Might have this mystery injury.
It's like Verlander with the IL stint so he doesn't get left off the playoff roster.
Yeah, this is like Deshaun Watson. We're just going to say your shoulder's broken. So that when you suck forever, we can just give you some semblance of excuse. My favorite thing I saw yesterday was Barstool put out this tweet. It was the moment from Moneyline when Jonah Hill's character is explaining to Billy Bean about, like, the players on the roster and why things are going wrong.
I refuse to watch that movie, but yes.
But what's funny about it is that the guy who Jonah Hill is portraying is part of the reason why Deshaun Watson is on the Browns. Because he went from working from Billy Bean to working for the Cleveland Browns and was part of the reason why they made this trade.
Moneyball.
Moneyball, bad idea. Also a lie.
I mean, he forgot. He forgot what got him into a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They gave this guy all of their money.
Yeah, he was like, God, it's so much better when you can't even pretend to want to pay these guys. Once you have the option to pay these guys, that's where things go wrong.
I want to know how the people that were defending Deshaun Watson here in Houston, like Larry and Stafford, I really want to know how they feel right now about Deshaun Watson and the decision-making that the Texans made after the fact.
I was thinking that, too. Not just like the not just the people that keep saying he just needs to knock off some rust, even though it's like, I don't know, guys. I don't know.
You mean like the people who were like outwardly calling like Cal and Hannah racist because of the way they treated Deshaun Watson?
Yeah. Also, Larry and Stafford.
And then now we're just like...
Also wanted Malik Willis. Malik
Stafford. Hey, well, you know what? We'll get to see Malik Willis. Yeah.
Starting quarterback for the Green Bay.
Because Jordan Love's out, because that happened Friday night, and Jordan Love's out for like 4 to 6 weeks.
He is out for four to six weeks. Yes, as we continue to go around the NFL, the Eagles beat the Packers 34-29 on a terrible field that Jordan Love got hurt on. I don't know if it was the field as much as it was Jalen Carter.
I'm going to lean Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter. Ndamukong Suh was with the Eagles not that long ago, right?
Taught him a couple things? No. This seemed like it was just a... It's a football injury.
Yes.
These things happen. As much as I want it, I don't think I didn't scroll back and say, can I blame this on the turf somehow?
Well, because like, everyone blamed the field, and then they showed the up close shot.
Yeah, the zoom in like, where you can see his knee pop. Yeah.
Never mind. Not as bad.
I was so disgusted by that field, and I got into an argument. My own fault.
With who?
Some random Brazilian NFL fan. Now, I've used to follow this person.
Twitter is illegal in that country now.
That's what I asked him about. I asked him, how are you tweeting at me? Because he kept on calling me xenophobic and racist and all sorts of things. And I was like, hey, man, I just don't get why we're playing a game here. Because he was saying it's good for everybody. And I said, not for Americans. It's not good for Americans. It's not. It's not. And they didn't seem that enthusiastic about it. It was a pretty low-energy crowd. Pretty quiet crowd. Low-energy broadcast, too. Noah Eagle. Okay, you're out. You're out. No more football for you.
I thought he was great on the Olympics, but then football. Ugh.
Yeah, when he covers a real sport, doesn't actually sound good. And he's a Syracuse guy. I'm supposed to defend the members of the Syracuse Mafia. But that broadcast was so low energy, and I was falling asleep watching a game that ultimately was a pretty good one. But the field was the worst thing of all. And Brazil, you had one job. And I get that the NFL is coordinating with Brazil to have that field ready to go. But all of these international fields have been massive failures. Whenever they play games on these soccer fields, which, as J.J. Watt pointed out, are not meant for massive human beings who are driving and powering their way through others, this is what you're going to get. But of course it's going to happen in Brazil, in the kidnapping capital of Brazil. That is what Sao Paulo's nickname is. I'm not kidding. I'm not making that up. We share no values with Brazil. None. They suppress free speech, and they love Nazis. Whether it's the neo-Nazis, the Nazis that they allowed to flee during World War II, or before World War II, when they had more Nazis than any country in the world outside of Germany. Fact. All of those are facts. We share no values with this country. Why are we playing games there? Oh, so it's easier to stomach playing games in Saudi Arabia and China?
It's coming.
Because it is coming. It's coming.
Roger Goodell said they want to double, basically, the amount of international games they're going to play. Well, where? You've got a field in Brazil that you shouldn't have played on.
Nope.
You've got a field in Mexico in which you've literally canceled games because it's so bad. Like, it's great. It's working out. It's worked out in London. Like, I don't know why they give the Jags competitive advantage now by letting them play 2 weeks in a row. I think it's so stupid. Germany was great. It was an incredible environment when Brady was there.
Yeah.
Like, France is coming, I'm sure. But, like, you're playing places where, like, it's legitimately not safe for your players. What is the benefit? Like, what is the actual benefit? At least this game was on at a normal time. Like, that's the only positive. It was on at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. I have some thoughts about the field stuff. Like, we touched on it with Indianapolis, too. I think Philly fans are still crying about the Super Bowl against the Chiefs field. How hard is it to make a football field for the NFL?
Apparently it's very hard.
why can't they? We talked about the Texans' first 15 years of their existence playing on a crappy field. Like, is it just a thing recently where we're aware of it? We're hyper aware of it, maybe because of, I don't know, gambling, the better TVs. I don't know what it is, but it seems like every week there's at least one place where, or one football game going on a field where you're like, this should not be happening on this field.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy how often it happens.
Colts yesterday, mm-hmm. Friday in Brazil, and I'm Friday, sure there are other ones that we haven't even noticed.
Washington, luckily they were in Tampa, so they, but I mean, there's
Soldier
just,
Field, was that, did they host the first game of the year?
Yeah, they did, it was okay.
It normally gets worse as the year goes
week
on.
Yeah, week one's fine. It's later in the season.
The one, like, week, it should be great, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. I would rather, like, this is where I think the NFL gets things wrong. If they want to talk about expansion and doing things differently, why don't you give me some neutral site games? Why don't you do something creative? Why don't you put the Cowboys and the Texans game, like, at College Station? I don't know. Give me Colts Texans in at the Rose Bowl. I don't know. Play, if you want to look at expanding to Portland or San Antonio, like these different markets, Oklahoma City, play football games there.
I'm with you.
Play neutral site games in this country or in Toronto.
No. F them. Screw the Canadians. Screw the Mexicans. I don't want us playing games in any other country. I want to build a wall for our football. It's ours. It's our game. Why do we have to share it with other people? And why am I racist or xenophobic for saying I don't want to share it? What are we talking about?
You're not.
But when we get international games here in the United States, they send our B-teamers. At the very least, if we're going to compromise, can we send them the Jaguars every single time and Titans, the teams that nobody cares about? I don't know. That's a start.
Maybe we make it like a...
But not the Packers
and
Eagles.
You don't know who's going to play international. So it's like they can flex Sunday night games where it's like, hey, if your record is below this...
Yeah.
Like this if you seems have, like a logistical nightmare. Yeah, let me just say that before we start. That seems like a logistical nightmare.
Yes. But like, hey, after week one, automatically, Carolina, see ya. Going to London. You suck at football.
Pack your bags, buddy.
Daniel Jones, you too.
I I think someone pulled up the Germany game this year. It involves the Giants. I want to say it is Giants Panthers. It is like the worst game you could possibly make. So get ready for that, Germany.
I mean, they literally started this whole thing. Like this whole
serve them right.
The entire international system was built off the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were the worst team in the NFL for years while they played those games. I mean, they're finally competitive now, but people overseas do not care if you send good teams or bad teams.
Yeah, so send them the worst teams.
I mean, college football, just send them FSU. They didn't mind.
Yeah, send them Colorado or something, okay? Some quick ones before we wrap up our recap of a lot of what happened in the NFL over the weekend. The Texans alone in first place because they beat the Colts. The Titans blew a 17-0 lead and lost 24-17 to Joe's Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams, good or bad?
Bad.
Okay. Jaguars blew a 17-7 late third quarter lead over the Dolphins. They lost 20-17 on a walk-off field goal. The Patriots, not the worst team in the NFL.
Can confirm.
Undefeated season.
My friends are getting mad at me because I picked against the Patriots in my Survivor League. Whatever. I'm happy they won. Who's worse, Giants or Panthers?
I don't know. I'm going to say Panthers.
Giants lost 28-6 to the Vikings, quarterbacked by Sam Darnold. The Panthers got killed by the Saints 47-10. Some rant, Jay Seahorn was talking trash to Derek Carr. Derek Carr's pantsing you? I mean, my God, that's a bad look. And the Sunday Night Football game last night was a good one. The Lions and Rams, they always have good battles. Lions win 26-20 in overtime. Tonight we have the Jets. Aaron Rodgers, let's see if he lasts more than five plays. On the road in San Francisco against the 49ers. It is Gallant and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on Twitter. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's great that the Houston Texans won, but we should not ignore in victory what we would beat up in defeat. Let's all raise our standards here. Gallant and George, stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. First off, guys, we have so many awesome new bonuses at MyBookie.ag. It used to be they would match your initial deposit up to $1,000. Now they're going to double your initial deposit if you enter that promo code BET975. Tonight, the 49ers are 4-point favorites against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. The over-under for the game, 43.5. This is a tricky one because I think the 49ers are the best team in the NFC. I think the Jets are the Jets, but it's prime time. And once again, are the Jets going to be a disaster? Are they? Like, they have everything that should mean they're not a disaster. So 4-point dogs against the 49ers tonight. I think the Jets are going to cover. I think the 49ers ultimately win, but I think the Jets can make it a field goal game. And you can bet on that and so many other things at mybookie.ag, like the 2024 presidential election, blackjack, and poker with live dealers. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.